kills through mistaken negligence. It wasn't deliberate. So the Torah says he's to run to a city of refuge. And if he were to exit the city of refuge, the next of kin of the victim has the right to kill him. So the Mishnah taught on Chesamid Beis, a father might have to run to a city of refuge because he kills his son. A son would run to a city of refuge because he kills by mistake his father. Everyone would have to run to a city of refuge if they killed a Jew. A Jew would have to run to a city of refuge for killing anyone, except for a ger toshav. A ger toshav doesn't go to a city of refuge unless he kills a ger, another ger toshav. That's what the Mishnah said. So now, the Gemara first, this is what we learned yesterday at the very end, the Gemara says, what do you mean that a father goes to a city of refuge by killing a son? The earlier Mishnah said that a father is allowed to hit a son. It's a good thing to hit a son. So the Gemara said, we're talking about where a father hits a son, not to teach him Torah, but to teach him a profession like carpentry, and he already has another profession. Okay, so that's what we're up to. V'aben gol al yidei av. The Mishnah says that a child will have to run to a city of refuge if he ends up mistakenly killing father. So the Mishnah says that if a child ends up mistakenly killing father, the child goes to a city of refuge, or mini. The Gemara asks against this. We learned in a Braisa that says not like that. The Braisa says, Maki nefesh. If one kills a soul, he has to run to a city of refuge. That the only problem, the issue why he's in problem, the reason why he's in trouble is that he killed a soul. Pratlamakav, if this excludes one who causes the death of father or hits father, because when just the hitting of father already makes a person in real trouble, because if a person hits his father and makes him bleed, the son deserves death of choking. So Rav Kahana answered Lo Kasha. So it's not a contradiction. The Mishnah says that a child who kills father goes to a city of refuge. The Braisa says he doesn't. It's not a contradiction. HaRabbi Shimon, HaRabbanon. One is the view of Rabbi Shimon, the other is the view of the Rabbanon. Rabbi Shimon, back in Masechet Sanhedrin says, Damar chenek chamer misayif. He says that being killed by choking is worse than being killed by sword. So therefore, if a person kills somebody else on purpose, he gets killed by sword. If a child wounds a father on purpose, he gets killed by choking. If a child kills a father, so he's really in the category of choking, and choking is worse than sword. So therefore, if choking is worse than sword, so then you wouldn't say that a child who kills a father goes to a city of refuge, because you'll say, Shigasayif nitla kapara. If somebody mistakenly killed another person, so that's a mistake on a matter that has a death penalty of sword. So then there's the atonement of going to a city of refuge. But shigas chenek, but a mistake on an issue of choking, that's much worse. So lo nitna lo kapara, Hashem never gave you the option of atonement. So then there's no option of going to the city of refuge. So that's the view of our Mishnah. What's the Braisa? The Braisa is the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan da'am yisayiv chamer michenek. The Rabbanan hold that sword is a worse death than choking. So therefore, horegav v'shogeg, if somebody kills his father by mistake, shigas sayif hu. So one second. He now has a worse penalty. He used to have, if he killed father, it was choking, but sword is worse. So if he wounds father, it's choking. If he kills father, it's worse. It's already a sword penalty. So one second. So whenever a person does something with two penalties, he gets the worst penalty. So here that he killed father, didn't just wound father, he gets the penalty of sword. It's a mistake that he did. It was a mistake that he did it. So shigasayif nitla kapara. So once it's a mistake about sword, there is the option of atonement and he can run to a city of refuge. So that's one answer. The Mishnah says that a child who kills father goes to a city of refuge. The Braisa says a child who kills father doesn't go to a city of refuge. So the one way to read it is the Braisa is following the view of Rabbi Shimon, and the Mishnah is following the view of the sages who disagree with Rabbi Shimon. However, Rava said you didn't read the Braisa the right way. The Braisa is not saying that if a child kills father, the child doesn't go to the city of refuge. What the Braisa is saying is that if a child mistakenly wounds father, he doesn't go to a city of refuge. Prat lo se chabura. The Braisa is just saying if a child mistakenly wounds father, he doesn't go to a city of refuge. But the law of the Mishnah stands that if a child mistakenly kills father, the child does go to the city of refuge. So the Gemara says, of course. It's to say that if a child mistakenly wounds father, he doesn't go to a city of refuge. So of course he doesn't go to the city of refuge. So Gemara says, I'll tell you. Sakadai Tachamina would have thought to say, given to be mazed by Ktaluhu, since if a child deliberately wounds father, he's put to death, he gets choked. So then Bishogig, if he did it by mistake, Nami Ligli, he should run to a city of refuge. Kamashman, that's what the Braisa teaches us. That he doesn't have to run to a city of refuge. Okay, we're at the bottom set of two dots here.
The bottom line here, Rabbi, I don't get it. It's so confusing. Going.
So there's a dispute. One version is that there's an argument whether a child who kills father goes to a city of refuge. And the second point of view is that, no, a child who kills father certainly goes to a city of refuge.
Or accidentally.
Only accidentally.
Okay. Okay.
And if a child wounds father accidentally, he does not go to a city of refuge. Then the Mishnah says, Hakol Golan, everybody could end up going to a city of refuge, Al Yudei Yisrael, by accidentally killing a Jew who's observant, a full-fledged Jew. Hakol Golan, Al Yudei Yisrael. So when you say everybody can go to a city of refuge by inadvertently killing a Jew, who's the everyone? La Suye Mai, what is that to include? Answers the Gemara, it's to include people who are only partially Jewish. La Suye Eved. We know that if a non-Jew becomes a slave to a Jew, Eved Kenani, that's a partial Judaism. He needs a bris milah, he goes to the mikvah, he has to accept on himself mitzvot, but he only has the obligations that a woman has. He doesn't have to do a mitzvah tashei shazman grama, time-bound, positive command. So if an Eved Kenani were to kill a Jew by mistake, he has to run to a city of refuge. Who else is included in everyone? Vikuti, a Samaritan. Samaritans were non-Jews who came from Kuta. They were brought by Sanherev to Israel when he expelled the 10 tribes. And they were immediately attacked by lions. They were very, very worried. People were dying. So Sanherev brought back a Jew from the 10 tribes. What can we do? We're being killed by lions in Israel. The Jew said, in Israel, you have to serve God. If you don't serve God, you're in trouble, so serve God. So they decided to serve God, but they did it their own way. They didn't accept the oral Torah. They only would observe the written text as they interpreted the written text. So there's a whole question, are Kutim Jews making a mistake, or they're non-Jews? Well, we're assuming here that they're non-Jews, but a Kuti is a non-Jew. He does observe the Torah, but he's a non-Jew. If he kills by mistake, he has to run to a city of refuge.
That's right. We're saying they are Jewish then.
Somewhat, yeah. We're saying at this point that they're somewhat Jewish. Or, no, it could be that they're non-Jews. It could be non-Jews, because we're about to see that non-Jews also have the idea of city of refuge, but not all non-Jews. Tanina lahad tan rabbanan. So our Mishnah is like the following braisa. Eved v'kuti, a non-Jewish slave or a Samaritan, gola, they might have to run to a city of refuge by inadvertent killing of a Jew. The loka, they also could end up getting lashes al yidei Yisrael because of a Jew. The Yisrael and a regular Jew, gola, will run to a city of refuge, the loka, and end up getting lashes al yidei kuti ve'eved because of a Samaritan or a non-Jewish slave. Says the Gemara, Bishma Eved Vakuti Gol Al Yidei Yisrael. I can understand that a non-Jew or a Jewish slave will go into exile because of a Jew, Viloke, or he could get lashes because of a Jew. Gole would mean Dekatli, if he killed a Jew by mistake. Viloke, when would he get lashes because of a Jew? Delatye, if he curses a Jew. Normally, an Avera that is an Avera of words, there is no lashes. But an exception to that is the Avera of cursing somebody. So if the non-Jew were to curse the Jew with God's name, the non-Jew would get lashes. So the Gemara now says, However, El Yisrael Golav Alokal Yedei Kuti, but the Brice that says that a Jew might have to run to a city of refuge or get lashes because of the Samaritan, Bishlam Agol, I can understand when he would have to run to a city of refuge, the Katli. If he mistakenly kills a Samaritan or if he mistakenly kills a slave, El Aloka, but lashes, Amai, why would he be getting lashes because of the non-Jew? Delatye, if he curses the Samaritan, cursing is not an aveira to people who are not fully observant. The Torah says, "V'nasi ba'amcha lo ta'or," and a leader in your nation don't curse, which teaches you bo'osem ma'ase amcha. As long as he's acting like a good Jew, then there's a problem of cursing him. But the Samaritans are not acting like good Jews; they don't keep the oral Torah, so there is no prohibition against cursing a Samaritan. So why would a Jew be getting lashes because of a Samaritan? I'll tell you when a Jew would get lashes because of a Samaritan. Let's say this Jew testified that this Samaritan deserves lashes. And then the Jew is turned into a conspiring witness because two other witnesses come and say, what you said you saw at the time couldn't have been because at the time you were with us. One second. But it then goes on to talk about a slave. A slave and a Samaritan don't get lashes. The Kavasaga be Evid. But in regards to a slave, Shehayud bar Vuhuzam, if he testified and he was turned into a conspiring witness, Evid bar Edosu, how could a slave ever testify? Elam Ravach b'Rav Ravika, so Ravach and Ravika explain like this. Hachab may askinan, when is there a case when a Jew would get lashes because of a Samaritan? Could go, not that he curses him, because the Samaritan doesn't do Maas Amcha, not that he testifies against him, because that couldn't be the other way. Let's say the Jew hits the Samaritan and he wounds him, but the monetary cost of what he did is not worth a pruta. The damages aren't a pruta. If somebody hits somebody else, normally he has to pay money. But if there is no monetary obligation because the amount of damage was less than a pruta, Loka, then he gets lashes for violating the prohibition of don't hit another Jew, Pen Yosef. So you'll second. So he would get lashes for hitting him, but he doesn't get lashes for cursing him. But if we say that the prohibition of cursing doesn't apply to someone who's not observant, so then the prohibition of lashes shouldn't apply to someone who's not observant. The answer is no, there's a difference. Lo makshin naka l'klala. We do not link the prohibition of hitting with the prohibition of cursing. A Jew is allowed to curse someone who is not observant, because he's not osama samcha, but he's not allowed to hit someone who's not observant. If he hits someone who's not observant, he would get lashes. So when the Brisa says that he gets lashes through the Samaritan, that means if he hits the Samaritan.
The prohibition against hitting another Jew is that even if the Jew caused, say the guy touches your wife and you belt him one?
I think so. I think so. You'd have to bring him to a court. But, yeah, I think so. To bring him to court.
Your action is more important than verbal?
Sounds like that, yeah. Good morning. Welcome. Thank you. To the courts, yeah, under the Jewish rule.
If he agreed.
Not that he agreed. The Jews were in charge of the land of Israel. So we are now on Daf Tesamad Aleph, page 9a in Masechet Makos. There are three types of non-Jews in the language of the Gemara. There is Goy, or Nachri, or Akum. So Goy, Nachri, and Akum means a non-Jew who doesn't keep anything, doesn't keep the seven Noahide laws, he worships idols. Then there is what's called Ben Noach. Ben Noach is a non-Jew. He's very moral. He keeps the seven Noahide laws. But even higher than Ben Noach, there is Ger Toshav, a stranger who's entitled to reside in the land of Israel. Ger Toshav keeps the seven Noahide laws, but even more than just keeping the seven Noahide laws, he went into Beit Din, and in Beit Din he promised to keep the seven Noahide laws. He made a commitment to keeping the seven Noahide laws. Once he made a commitment to keep the seven Noahide laws, so then we know that he's serious about it, and so he becomes Ger Toshav. Ger Toshav has a very high status. We have to treat him very, very nicely.
Is it for the Jew?
No, he's not a Jew. He keeps seven Noahide laws, but he chose to keep the seven Noahide laws, and he promised to keep the seven Noahide laws. So once somebody promises, we take him seriously. So now, the Mishnah said that a person, a Jew, anybody who kills a Jew would end up going to a city of refuge, and if he inadvertently killed a Jew, and Jews would end up going to cities of refuge also if they kill anyone, except if it was Ger Toshav. So one second, that sounds like Alma, that sounds like Ger Toshav Ovid Kochavimu, that Ger Toshav has the same status as a non-Jew who doesn't keep anything, like a non-Jew who worships idols, and therefore the Ger Toshav doesn't have the concept of going to a city of refuge. That's what the Mishnah sounds like. But then Amos Sefer, read the next line of the Mishnah. Ger Toshav, a Ger Toshav, that's the non-Jew who committed to keep the seven commands. Gola does go to a city of refuge, Al Yedei Ger Toshav, if he inadvertently kills another Ger Toshav. So what's the contradiction? Sam Rav Kana, Rav Kana resolved the contradiction. Lo Kasha. Kan beger toshav sharag ger toshav. If a ger toshav kills another ger toshav by mistake, he goes to a city of refuge. The first line that said that ger toshav doesn't go, kan beger toshav sharag Yisrael. If a ger toshav kills a Jew by mistake, so that's a very big sin, killing a Jew by mistake. And since it's a very big sin, he can't even go to a city of refuge to get atonement. That was the answer. Ika, there are others, the Rami Krayadad. He got to this answer by asking a contradiction of verses. Ksiv, on the one hand, there are those who ask a contradiction of verses. Ksiv, the verse says, set up cities of refuge, Livnei Yisrael, for the Jews, Vilager v'la toshav b'tochem tihiyena, and for the ger toshav who's in your midst, you should have these cities, Shesharim, these six cities. Uksiv, in the verse says, Vayu lachem harim l'miklat. And the cities will be for you as a city of refuge. So that sounds like lochem v'lola gerim. It's only for you. It's not for the ger toshav. So one verse says explicitly the cities are for you and for the ger toshav. The next verse says it's only for you. So I'm Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said lo kash. It's not a contradiction. Kan beger toshav sharag Yisrael. If a ger toshav kills a Jew, then by mistake, then he has to go to a city of refuge. For that situation, the cities of refuge are for you and for the ger toshav. Kan beger toshav, I'm sorry, then he doesn't go to a city of refuge. It's too terrible a sin. He doesn't go to a city of refuge. Then the cities of refuge are only for you. Kan beger toshav, shara ger toshav. But when a ger toshav kills another ger toshav, that's when he goes to a city of refuge. That's what the verse is saying, that the cities of refuge are also for ger toshav.
So it's the same rules as ger toshav and the kuti. The same thing, no, Rabbi?
No, it's better than a kuti. A kuti is saying he's a Jew, but he's not keeping all the things that a Jew is supposed to keep. Ger toshav's a non-Jew. He doesn't have to keep the things of a Jew, but he's a very good. He's promising to keep the seven Nisus B'nai Noach. That's a very good thing.
If he doesn't go to the city of refuge, what is his status? Does he go to the
Noach?
Yeah. Yes. For many, I'll challenge you. We have a brisa that's talking about non-Jews who violate one of the seven Noahide laws. The law is that if the non-Jew violates a seven Noahide law, just the fact that they've been warned is enough. In the Torah, they get death. Asarasam zui misasam, the Gemara said in Masechet Sanhedrin. It's very strict laws with the non-Jews. Therefore, the Braisa says, Lefikach, since the non-Jews get death for violating their laws, Lefikach, therefore, Ger, if there's a Ger Toshav, or Ovid Kochavim, or a non-Jew who worships idols, Shahargu, if they kill, even by mistake, Neheragin, they get killed. Wow, they get killed. That's amazing. So Katani, and they get killed for a mistaken death. They didn't kill on purpose here. They slipped off of a ladder, and they, when climbing down a ladder, they dropped. They get killed for that. So if they kill somebody, Katani Ger Dumi Dovid Kochavim. Now it links here a Ger Toshav to a non-Jew who worships idols. So Ma Ovid Kochavim, certainly a non-Jew who worships idols. When we say he gets killed, Lo Shon Dekatol Bar Minei VeLo Shon Dekatol Lav Bar Minei Neherag. whether he kills another non-Jew, whether he kills a Jew, he's going to be killed. So now when you say that a ger also gets killed, it sounds like afger lo shna dekatzel bar minei, whether the ger toshav killed another ger toshav, lo shna katzel delav bar minei, or if he kills a Jew, it sounds like in both cases, neherag, he gets killed. So that means that even when he kills another ger toshav, he gets killed. He doesn't go to a city of refuge. I'm Rav Chizr. Rav Chizr, the answer, lo kash, it's not a contradiction. Kan shahar go derech yirida. If a ger toshav kills another ger toshav while going down a ladder, then he goes to the city of refuge, like the second line of our Mishnah. Kan, when the Braisa says that a ger toshav gets killed, it doesn't go to a ger, doesn't go to a city of refuge. Shahar go derech aliyah. If the ger toshav killed when he was climbing up, derech yirida, if he kills when he's going down the Yisrael Gali, if a Jew kills when he's going down a ladder, so the Jew goes to cities of refuge. So he also can go to a city of refuge. Derech Aliyah, but if he kills when he was climbing up a ladder, the Yisrael Pater, a Jew who kills when climbing up a ladder doesn't go to a city of refuge. So who? Neherak. So he gets killed. He gets killed for it. So you see Kim's question. So Rava said to this answer, this makes no sense. Falav kalva chomeru. This goes against logic. Why is it that if a Jew killed inadvertently when going up, he doesn't go to a city of refuge? Because it's considered onus. It's considered out of his control. Because he was going up, and then even then he fell and killed somebody. It's out of his control. So that means there's less of a crime to it. There's less culpability to it. So therefore, umad derech yirida, if when killing, when going down, the Yisrael gali that a Jew goes to a city of refuge, you're going to say, iunami sagli begalus, so the ger toshav could go to a city of refuge. Derech aliyah, if the killing was because he was climbing up, the Yisrael pater, if a Jew did such a thing, he would be exempt because he was out of his control. So ihu neherag, if something's out of somebody's control, the ger toshav is going to be killed for an act that was out of his control. Makes no sense. So we have a problem again. Our Mishnah, the first line seems to say ger toshav doesn't have any city of refuge. The second line says ger toshav who kills a ger toshav does have city of refuge. And then we have a braisa that says that ger toshav gets killed for killing. Like a non-Jew gets killed for killing, sounding like he doesn't have the option of city of refuge. So Elam Arava, so rather Rava said the answer is like this. The case of the braisa that says that ger toshav would be killed like a non-Jew is killed is when Ba'omer Mutar, when the ger toshav kills someone not by slipping off of a ladder when he was climbing down, no, when the ger toshav thought that he was doing something permissible and he ends up killing somebody in a permissible act. Amalei Abayas said to Rava, one second, Omer Mutar Anasu, if he thought he was doing something permissible, why should he be punished? Amalei said to him, I disagree with you. Shani Omer, I believe, Omer Mutar Karov Lemezid Hu, if somebody thinks he's doing something permissible, that's close to a deliberate crime. Vazlatam, this is an argument that we found elsewhere between Abaya and Rava. The Itmar we learned. Kasavar Behema, let's say a person is shooting arrows, he thinks he's shooting at a form coming to him which he thinks is an animal. Venimtes Adam, it turns out it was a Jew, and he killed the Jew. Kenani, he thought he was killing a Canaanite. Venimtes Ger Toshav, it turns out he killed a Ger Toshav. So Rava Amar Chayev, Rava says he is guilty because that he thought he was doing something permissible, but he should have studied further and realized that he wasn't permissible. So he deserves death. Rav Amar Chayiv, however, because
it was permissible to target a Canaanite,
right? It's not murder, right? So Rav Amar Chayiv, Omer Mutter, Karov Lemezidu, because he thinks somebody who thinks he's doing something permissible is basically totally negligent, and it's like someone who's deliberately doing something wrong. However, Rav Chisda Omer Pater, Rav Chisda says he'd be exempt. Because he holds like Abaye Omer Mutter Anusu. If he thought it was allowed, then that's basically something out of his control. Esve Rava, the Rav Chisda Rava, challenged Rav Chisda. How could you say Omer Mutter is onus? Think about the Bible. This week's Parsha. What happens in this week's Parsha? I'm sorry, last week's Parsha. 2 weeks Parsha. 2 weeks ago in the Parsha, Avimelech kidnaps Sarah. And God comes to him in a dream and tells him, Hin chameit, you're going to die, Ali Shasha Lakahta, because you took a married woman. Now one second, he thought she was a sister. That's what he was told. He didn't think she was a married woman. So that means that you see that if somebody thinks they're doing something permissible, but it's really terrible, they didn't study enough, there's a terrible punishment. So my labi de adam doesn't mean that they're going to die in the hands of man. Says the Gemara, lo, no, bidei shamayim, they're going to die in the hands of heaven. Deikanami, there is also a proof to that. The Siv, God tells Avimelech, I helped you, mechatoli, I saved you from sinning against me. Apparently it was a sin against me, but not a sin in the hands of the courts.
Rabbi, he's over kidnapping also, right?
Yep. So 1 second, so the Gemara says, well, but according to your logic, that v'chatas ali means only to God. When Yosef says to the wife of Potiphar, I can't be intimate with you, v'chatasi lelokim, I would sin against God. What do you mean, lelokim lelo adam? I'm going to sin against God, but it's not going to be a sin against man, it's a sin against the husband. He knows it's a sin against the husband. Ella, so what does he mean when he says I'm going to be sinning against God? It's a sin against God, but dino masul adam, but it's something carried out in the hands of court. So achanami, so maybe here too, dino masul adam, as Rava says, when somebody thinks he's doing something permissible, but that's because of his laziness and not studying enough and not investigating enough, that is something that's in the hands of man. That's a deliberate sin. Esve Abaye l'Rava. Abaye challenged Rava. The verse says that Hagoy gam tzadik tarog, that Avimelech gives a hard time to God. He says, God, what, are you going to kill the innocent with the guilty? I mean, I'm innocent here. So the Gemara says, so if he's innocent, that means because he's Omer Mutri, thought it was, it's an ones. So no, so, but God doesn't accept that claim. Hasakun v'gahadri, wait, think about what the response to that is. God says back, v'atah, now, Hashav Eshes Ha'ish, return the married woman of the man. He Navi Hu, because he is a prophet. I understand. Eshes Navi Hu, did he answer? The only reason why you have to return the woman is because her husband's a prophet? The Lav Navi Lote Hadar, if Sarah wouldn't be married to a Navi, Avimelech could get away with the kidnapping? So what's going on? No, it means like this. It's like Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni explained. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said in Rav Yonasan, this is what God is telling to Avimelech. Vata, and now, Hashav, Eshasayish, return the married woman, the wife of that man that you took, become Akam, regardless of, you know, what his status would be. This that you started to argue with me. You said, hey, God, I'm innocent. I didn't do anything wrong. I was told she was a sister. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm an innocent person. Why should I, the righteous person, be killed when I'm innocent? No, what do you mean you're innocent? Right? You said, Allahu amarli achosi, but he told me that she was my sister. So answers God to Avimelech. No, he's a smart man. Navihu, he's so smart, he even became a prophet. And therefore, you're not innocent. Look at the culture you created. He learned from your culture that he has to hide the identity of his wife. Why? Because here he comes to a foreign country. When a guest comes to a city, if it's a nice, moral city. So what do? They ask him, do you need to eat? Do you need a drink? Can we help you? That's normal people. Klum shalin oso ishtachazu or choschazu. Do normal people start right away with discussions of marriage? Is this, we don't know you from Adam, but is this your wife or is this your sister? Is she available or not? So that means that there's a terrible place going on here. That means that they're obsessed with the looks of women. And right away they start talking about marriage eligibility. Mikan, so from here we see, so you're no innocent man. You're no innocent man. So since you're not an innocent man, because you were right away asking for this, so Avram already knew that you were going to kill him if he would say that she was his wife. So he had to say, she was his sister, so you're the one who caused it all, and you're now innocent. So bottom line, Mikan, from this story we see, Ben Noach Nerag, a non-Jew would get killed, and deserves to be killed, just for being lazy intellectually. Shehayah lo lilmod v'lo lamad. He should have learned how to be respectable and courteous and modest, and he didn't. And that itself is reason for him to die. Okay, going back to the...
Would Avimelech to die?
Yeah, Avimelech deserved to die. It was just the grace of God that he didn't die.
On a charge of kidnapping or on a charge of...
Yeah, kidnapping, marital infidelity.
He didn't know.
He should have known.
I mean, somebody introduced you and said, this is my sister. You have to find, oh, are you married? Are you?
You have to be a mensch. You can't be a leader of a society of a bunch of perverts.
Every bachura you take.
It's a bad thing.
Every woman you take to your home.
Killed if you said that, anything else. Mm-hmm. So he's basically right out.
It's a society of perverts, so they deserved what they got.
Are you sure? You're definitely sure.
Next Mishnah. Talking about a man who kills by mistake. Hasuma. Let's say it's a blind man who killed by mistake. Eino gole doesn't have the option of going to a city of refuge. Div Rabbi Yehuda, that's a good Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, no. A blind man who kills by mistake also gole goes to a city of refuge. Hasone, let's say two people are enemies, and a man who's the enemy of somebody else, mistakenly, he claims that it was a mistake that he killed his enemy. So Hasone ain't a goal, he doesn't go to a city of refuge. We don't believe him when he says it was a mistake. We think it was on purpose. The city of refuge is too light for him. Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, no, Hasone Nerag, even more. A guy who's an enemy of somebody else, if he kills, we'll put him to death. Because we say that he's already been warned. The fact that he's doing it on purpose, he's already been warned. Rabbi Shimon says, Yesh Sone Golet. Sometimes there's an enemy who kills by mistake, he goes to a city of refuge. Yesh Sone Sheino Golet. Sometimes there's an enemy who kills by mistake, he doesn't go to a city of refuge. The answer is like, the resolution of that point is the following. Zaklal, here's the rule. Kol Shu Yachalo Maladas Harag Eino Golet. If the event was such that it could be that he was doing it on purpose, then we're not going to let him go to a city of refuge. But Shalola Dasar, but if it's clear that it was not intentional and it was inadvertent, then Hareza Gola, he would go to a city of refuge. So Tanur Rabbanan, we lived in a Braisa, first talking about the question of a blind man. The verse that says about the man going to a city of refuge, that he killed someone below Ra'os, without having seen him. So below Ra'os, without seeing Plat, Pratlasuma, so that excludes a blind man who could never see, because it sounds like he didn't see, but he could have seen, he just didn't see. So a blind man who can't see doesn't have these rules. Div Rabbi Yehuda, that's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir says, below Ra'os, the verse says he killed without seeing, L'rabos is Asuma. Even if he doesn't see, he gets killed. In other words, even a blind man would be killed if he mistakenly killed. My time of Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda? The Siv, it's based on the earlier verses. It says there, Asher Yavo Esra'eu Bayar Lachtov Etzim, somebody who comes into a forest to cut wood, and he's going to end up harming his friend. That sounds like Afilusuma, even if he's blind. Then it goes on to say, below Ra'os, without seeing. So that's Mate, to exclude us of below Ra'os, that already include the blind. Why did it then say someone who doesn't see? To say that he didn't see this time, but below Ra'os, Miate, is to exclude a blind person. And Rabbi Meir, he'll tell you no. Rabbi Meir will say, after below Ra'os, you're right, I would have thought it meant Lema'et, that someone who's blind does not include in this section of law. But then the Torah goes on to say, Asher Yakes Re'ehu Bivli Das, somebody who kills his friend unawares. So the fact that it says Bivli Das is Lema'et, that's to say, again, he has to be unawares in this instance, but aware in general. So that's another instance of excluding a blind man. So Avi Miud Achamid, we have now two verses, both excluding a blind man, below Ra'os plus Bivli Das. And we have a rule, in Miud Achamid El Rabos. If you have two exclusions, it's actually to include. So 1 second, according to Yehuda, we have two exclusions. We have Bivli Das in addition to below Ra'os. So he'll say, no, Bivli Das is not coming to include a blind man. It's Pratlin Eskavinu Das, to say it's without intention, to exclude someone who has intention. He does not have the option of going to a city of refuge.
Rabbi?
Yeah, question.
Didn't we start by talking about that this was his intention to kill somebody, but he was blind and he killed the wrong person?
No, that was a case where we say he's guilty of death.
He's guilty of death.
Yeah, not the city of refuge. This is inadvertent killing. The Mishnah says that if a hater inadvertently kills his enemy, he doesn't go to a city of refuge. Rabbi Yossi says even more. A hater who inadvertently kills gets killed. Rabbi Yossi Masoni Narag. So the Gemara says, how could you kill him? Valo Asriyim, but we never warned him. Answers the Gemara, Masnisin Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, this is the view of Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Chaver, and Otzar, Chasra. A Torah scholar doesn't need to be warned. Lefish lo nitna asra lo havchim in shogel lemezit. The point of warning is just to make sure that the guy is not doing it by mistake, that he knows that it's a big prohibition. So a Torah scholar knows it's a big prohibition. The same as with an enemy, we know he's doing it on purpose. Rabbi Shimon said it depends on the event. Yeshone gola, yeshone she'eno gola. You learned in a brisa case that I'm Rabbi Shimon Yeshona Gola. What's the case of Rabbi Shimon when the enemy would go to a city of refuge? Yeshona Sheina Gola. When would he not go to a city of refuge? Nifsak Gola. If he was lowering his barrel filled with wine, and then the rope breaks. So if the rope breaks, that's something he couldn't have controlled. So then he goes to a city of refuge. But Nishmat. But if the rope slipped from his hands, yeah, maybe he did that on purpose. So then he doesn't go to a city of refuge. Asks the Gemara, V'atan, if we went in a brisa, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Lo'olam eino gole. He would never go to a city of refuge. Ad sheyishamet machatzalo miyado. Unless he slips the rolling pin from his hands. So 1 second, you see that a rope breaking is not reason to go to a city of refuge. So kasha nifsaka nifsak, we have now a contradiction about a rope breaking. Kasha nishmat nishmat, we have a contradiction about things slipping out of the hand. And so the Gemara like this, nishmat nishmat lo kasha, it's not a contradiction if things slip out of the hands. Haba ohev, if somebody loves somebody else and he never kills that person. So then he goes to the city of refuge if it slipped out of his hand. However, this that we said, that if it slips out of his hand, he doesn't go to a city of refuge. Besone, if an enemy killed an enemy and it slipped out of his hand. Nifsaka nifsak lo kasha, there's no contradiction about if things break in his hands. The brisa that said that if the rope broke, he doesn't go to a city of refuge. That's the view of Rabbi that says that if the metal fell off of the axe, he doesn't go to a city of refuge. So if the rope breaks, that's basically the metal falling off of the axe. First price that says that if the rope breaks, he goes to a city of refuge. That's the Rabbanan that say that if the metal goes off of the axe, he goes to a city of refuge. And so too, if the rope breaks, so the barrel and the rest of the rope fall off of the other part, he would have to go to a city of refuge. Let's just start the Mishnah. Lehechan Golem. Where are these cities of refuge? La'arei Miklat. These are the cities of refuge. That's where you go to exile. Shalosh Shebeir Yagin. There are three on the other side of the Jordan. Shalosh Shebeiretz Canaan. There are three in the land of Canaan. Shanam, as the pasuk says, Eshlosh Harim Titnu Me'ever Le'Arden. Veshlosh Harim Titnu Beretz Canaan. Three cities on the eastern banks and three cities on the western banks of the Jordan. Achlo Nifchu Shlosh Shebeiretz Yisrael. Lo Yisholosh Shebeiver Yagin. Kolto Shanam Arsheish Harim Miklat Tiyena. Before the three that were on the western banks were set aside, the three on the eastern banks didn't work, because the Torah says you should have six cities that save inadvertent murderers. They would have roads directing people how to get to the cities of refuge. Okay, and we'll start again from here tomorrow.